Welcome to Brown Liquor Podcast, where we explore all things under the rainbow, navigating relationships, life, and friendships, all while enjoying your favorite brown liquor drink. So, let's get into it. What's up, y'all? It is your girl, Shonda D, and I am back with another episode of Brown Liquor. Now, y'all already know Brown Liquor is where we discuss all things gayness, navigating relationships, life, friendships, all while enjoying your favorite brown liquor drink. And with that being said, y'all, we're going to jump right into it and go ahead and get into this week's Brown Liquor Drink of the Week because we got a lot to unpack in this episode. This one might be a little long, so I'm going to need y'all to go ahead and make sure that you got your things together, okay? So y'all are ready to get into it with me, okay? First of all, now, this might be putting myself out there because I know that when this episode comes out, it's not going to be, in accordance with what this week actually is. So I'm telling y'all my business, but this is Easter Sunday. Okay. Beyonce has dropped the country album on us. It's a lot going on. Okay. A lot of things have happened this week. My mama turned 60. Not that that's probably important to y'all, but hey, it's my mama. She turned 60. I'm glad that she was able to have a good time for her birthday. But yeah, we're going to go ahead and get right into it. So this week's Brown Liquor Drink of the Week is a blueberry lemon drop. Now, I may have used this drink already before on this podcast, but this one just looks so good. It made me want to bring it back. So for this drink, you'll need blueberries, simple syrup, lemon juice, limoncello, orange liqueur, and vodka. Now, y'all know for me that vodka is probably going to be some tequila, but that's my business. Do what you want to do, okay? Because this is your drink. You make the drink according to how you want to make the drink for you. So now to make the drink, you need 0.5 ounces of simple syrup, 1.5 ounces of lemon juice, 1 ounce of limoncello, 1 ounce of orange liqueur, and 1 ounce vodka. Now, again, that vodka for me is probably going to be tequila, and it's probably going to be 2 ounces, not one. Probably not going to use the simple syrup because I like my drink strong, not sweet. But again, that's my business. Do you, boo boo. Okay. I always tell y'all that. This drink came from Christy with a Twist on Instagram. Her page is Christy with a K, K R I S T I with a Twist on Instagram. Thank you so much, Christy. And with that being said, I am going to introduce you guys to a new segment that I'm bringing to the podcast called Vent to Me. Oh, hold on. Sorry. Before I get to Vent to Me, let me give y'all our disclaimer. Please do not drink and drive. Drink while you are home. Drink while you are safe. It is a holiday weekend. This weekend when I'm recording this, it won't be when it comes out. But either way it goes, you should not be drinking and driving. You should drink while you're home. Drink while you're safe. Drink with people you know, like, and trust. And y'all be careful out there because it's a lot going on. And I want you to be here with me on this side of the earth. But like I was saying, I'm bringing a new segment to the podcast called Vent to Me. And I want to bring this segment up on the podcast because I feel like in this world, in this generation, in just everything that we're all dealing with as people, there are a lot of times where, you know, some situations people don't have somebody to go to vent to. You don't have somebody to be able to call to get things off your chest. You may have friends, you may have family, but sometimes you don't want to talk to them because you kind of know what advice they're going to give you. This segment is literally just for y'all. I'm going to post the link where you can leave me a voice message on the podcast. It could be related to something that we talked about on the podcast. It could be just you wanting to get it off your chest because it is too heavy for you to hold. You can say your name. You can keep it anonymous. However you want to go about doing that, it is all up to you. It's going to be called Vent to Me. Every week as I get, you know, a recording, somebody records something that they want to get off their chest, I'm going to play one on the podcast so you could just get it out. Okay, so I'm telling y'all now. So if you are a part of our group, Brown Liquor Lesbian Conversations on Facebook, look for the link. I'm probably going to post it on Mondays so that I can be able to have the recording added into the podcast by the time it's time for the episode to come out. So look for the link to press so you can leave me a voice message and just get it off your chest. It will be played on the podcast. So however much of your business you decide to tell, that is completely up to you. That is all on you, okay? Whatever you decide to share, I'm gonna ask that you don't say names because, you know, people that are involved in the mess may not want their business out there. They may not want to be connected to this platform. So I'm gonna ask that you don't share names. If you want to be anonymous, you're more than welcome to. If you don't want to be anonymous, hey, you know what I'm saying? We're here for you, okay? But look for the link to leave a voice message. If you're listening to this podcast on any of the other platforms, you can go to Spotify, search Brown Liquor, and you can use the leave a voice message button. You can also, if you have the Spotify app, you can do it that way as well. So that's going to be a new segment. Hopefully you guys leave me some messages. Again, whatever it is you want to get off your chest, I'm open to it. Okay. Just know it's going to be played on the podcast. And with that being said, before I get into my first commercial break, I got to moonlight y'all a little bit. I realized that I hadn't been doing it all season. Like, what's wrong with me? I don't know. But, before I let y'all go and get your drinks and do all of that, I just want to remind you to make sure you are following us on all of our social medias, TikTok, Instagram, Facebook, and our Facebook group, Brown Liquor Lesbian Conversations. So not only you can be a part of the conversation, but just so you don't miss anything that we have coming up. Listen, y'all, it is about to be April, and I'ma just say Brown Liquor got some things coming up. I know you may hear us say that a lot. You may hear me say that a lot, and you may be looking for me to be on video and all these other things because I keep saying not yet, not yet, not yet, not yet. But listen, you are going to want to be connected to this platform in some way, shape, or form. Okay. When we make it big, don't be trying to say you've been down with Brown Liquor from jump when you haven't been. Okay. So go ahead and join the group now. Go ahead and follow the TikTok, the Instagram, and join us on Facebook so that you can be a part of the conversation. And just we want to stay connected to all of y'all. Okay, so follow us. Be looking for our lives. I know I do them randomly. I'm trying to figure out a way to do that more consistently, but for now, be looking out for our lives. We may go live. I may go live. I keep saying we. I'm so used to doing this with my fiance. I may go live in the Facebook group, or I may go live on TikTok. You never know. That's why you just need to turn your notifications on so you don't miss nothing. Okay. And with that being said, now I'm gonna go ahead and let y'all get into this first commercial break. So go ahead and get your drinks, grab your snacks, grab your popcorn, grab your blanket, whatever smoothie, snacks, chips, drink, whatever it is that you enjoy while listening to this podcast. Go ahead and get it. Okay. Cause when we come back, we digging right in. Okay. All right. We'll be back after this commercial break. Y'all make sure y'all stay tuned. All right, y'all, we are back. from our break, and it's time to get into this segment of what you watching. So last week's episode, we talked about the Freaknik documentary, and I told you guys that I would be coming back to get into episode two of the Dark Side of TV, the Nickelodeon documentary. So I had to just go back and because every other episode I had notes for. Episode two, for some reason, I didn't have notes for, but that's neither here nor there because your girl just went back and watched it and took some notes. So we gonna go through this kind of quickly. I mean, I hate to kind of speed through it because I feel like it is very important that we show these children some honor and some respect. Like, this is just horrible. And I'm sure by now, by the time this comes out, you probably have already watched the documentary for yourselves and formed your own opinions and all of that good stuff, which I want you to do. Like, please go watch it, form your own opinions, feel how you feel, post about your outrage, do all the things. Okay. But this is just like a synopsis, in my opinion, of what I got from the episode. So in episode two, it starts out with an older woman talking about her dreams of wanting to be an actor. But her daughter, Brandy, became an actor. Her daughter was booked on a booked on, booked as an extra on the Amanda Bynes show. And production assistant Jason Handy didn't allow the parents on the sets. He pried into their personal lives, and one day Brandy told her mom that Jason wanted to exchange personal information with some of the cast members, and he wanted to email her. Now, she but prior to it get into the email part, she goes into this whole, spiel about, it wasn't just her that he exchanged information with, and he said that he wanted to basically help them in their careers. Like, he kind of gave them the impression that it was just like more like a mentorship thing, more than him being a creep, basically. But so, she allows them to email. She feels like it's an innocent thing because, of course, he doesn't just go right into being a creep. He builds up to being a creep. So they start emailing back and forth, and one day he sends her a video of him masturbating and says, "I just wanted to let you know I was thinking of you." She starts crying and is immediately offended. Like, after this whole incident happens, sis don't even want to work as a child actor anymore. Her dreams of being a child actor are completely destroyed, demolished. She doesn't want anything to do with the industry anymore. Hence why she's not on the show. Her mom is on the show explaining what happened to her. Then the show goes deeper into the Amanda Bynes story and her rise to fame and how Dan Schneider stayed connected to her shows no matter where she worked. Because of course, as she got older, she outgrew the Amanda show, and had her own show on, I want to say, CW Network, one of those like young adult networks that had all the shows that, like as you're coming out of being a teenager into adulthood, like where they had all those type of shows. I want to say it was CW, but I'm not really sure. Don't quote me on that part. But he stayed connected to her shows in some way. If he wasn't writing, he was producing. If he wasn't producing, he was on the set with her. And so he helped her become emancipated from her parents, which basically means that once you become emancipated as a child from your parents, you're basically considered an adult, which means you can work now without supervision. They could work you more hours because you're not technically under child labor laws, and you as your sole person could have full control over your career, your money, etc., or you could appoint somebody in those positions. Dan was accused of throwing his power around a lot and being verbally abusive and overworking female producers on the sets. Like, he told one lady she couldn't go to the bathroom. Like, seriously, sir, I have to pee. To me, in these type of situations, it's really kind of hard to say what you would have done and what you would have not done, because in the 90s and the early 2000s, like, I feel like job scarcity was a thing, regardless of if it was Hollywood or if it was in Tallahassee, Florida. You know what I mean? Like, people everywhere was like fighting to keep their job. So it wasn't like I could just walk off of this job at any old time. Like, and if you were a woman, I can only imagine being a woman in a position like that in Hollywood, like having to fight to keep your role. Because eventually he ended up firing this lady and replacing her with a man who had no experience. So, see what I mean? And it's crazy for me, because watching all of this and going back to these nostalgic feelings of watching all of that in the Amanda Bynes show, like, I really wanted to be one of those kids. Like, I thought it was cool that they was able to basically have like a Saturday Night Live type of show for kids and all that. Like, that's what it was for me. Like, it was a sketch show. It was a comedy sketch show. And it was just like, if I can really see myself doing something like this. And there was black and brown kids on the show. So it made it like a representation thing for me, and not knowing that these kids were like really dealing with some real stuff behind the set, like behind the scenes, like they were being overworked and sexually hurt. Just, I can't. The kids were overworked. They paid no attention to child labor laws, and they said Dan favored the white kids on the set more than the black ones. He gave black actors stereotypical roles. Like, one guy from the show talked about a scene where he was selling Girl Scout cookies, but the scene, like in the scene, he approached the guy to sell the Girl Scout cookies like he was selling drugs. He's like, "Hey, psst, psst. You want to buy these cookies? You want some cookies?" Like, what? What is that? Another one of the actors on the show talked about him being Nose Man, which was supposed to be some type of superhero. And then, like, he sneezes or whatever, and the snot shoots out on the lady's face. Like, I know I talked about this in the last episode that we talked about, the Nickelodeon documentary. Where he basically had all these cum shots. Later we find out Jason Handy was arrested for child sexual abuse. They searched his apartment in 2003 and found an enormous amount of child pornography. He had girls' panties in Ziploc bags, y'all. He had panties in a Ziploc bag with the girl's name on it. He kept letters from little girls and all kinds of tokens that he could keep to kind of remember these girls by. Disgusting. He admitted to being a pedophile in his journal and even vented about his thoughts of about rape. He wrote about him sexually abusing a 9-year-old from the Cousin Skeeter set, where he kissed her, forced his tongue in her mouth. And he promised that he could get the girl on other shows, but she couldn't tell her mom about what they were doing. So he was fully aware of what he was doing. He was like, no shame. You know what I'm saying? After he was arrested, then comes Brian Peck, an even bigger monster. And y'all, we're gonna get into him more later. But from this episode, Brian Peck was known to be handsy with the kids. He made a lot of inappropriate jokes. He wrote letters back and forth to John Wayne Gacy, a serial killer who particularly killed a lot of young men and boys. Come to find out, like, they had a whole relationship, like they were pen pals, and Brian Peck was like low key in love with him. A couple months after Handy was arrested, Peck got arrested. So now this is two people that worked on the Nickelodeon set that were child sexual abusers. All the cast members wondered who it was that Peck was abusing. And once all of these charges and all these, you know, all the factual things came out, everybody on the set was trying to figure out who was it. Even the FBI, they said at one point the FBI asked, you know, did anybody have anything to say? And everybody kind of looked around to kind of like see if somebody would step up and say, hey, yeah, he was touching me, but nobody did. So it gets even more gross, but we gonna get into that on the next episode of Brown Liquor. So y'all gotta make sure y'all come back to find out what happens on episode 3 of The Dark Side of TV, the Nickelodeon documentary. And with that being said, we gonna take a quick break because Lord knows we need one after this because these niggas is nasty. Like, y'all should be We'll be back, y'all. We'll be back. What's up, y'all? It's your girl, Shonda D, and the Brown Liquor Travel Lounge is here, specializing in cruises and international travel. So get your passports ready and pack your bags, because, baby, Brown Liquor Travel Lounge has the perfect travel packages for you. If you are looking to travel overseas and don't know where to start, hit us up with the dates in mind, your final destination, and an ideal budget, and let us handle the rest. Send us an email to brownliquor@gmail.com to get started today. All right, y'all, we are back, and it's time to get into this week's topic. Now, this week, we are not discussing a question from Brown Liquor Lesbian Conversations. This week, we are going to dig a little deep into what imposter syndrome is. Now, I came up with the idea to explore imposter syndrome because I know that I have personally dealt with imposter syndrome. And I feel like it's one of those buzzy words that everybody's kind of throwing around, but nobody really understands really what it means. And so I want us to be informed when we are in conversation, when we're going through life, when we're dealing with different situations and scenarios. So you have me to come and break it down for you. I'm like your neighborhood therapist, okay? Your hood celebrity gay therapist. I don't know. I got to find a name for myself. I don't know. I got to find a catchy name for myself. But y'all have me to come break it down for you. So on this week's episode, we are talking about imposter syndrome. So let's get into it. Now, I got a lot of the information that I found from about imposter syndrome from mcleanhospital.org. But I also remember a lot of this information from just what I studied in school. And a lot of this is from my own personal experience. So I'm just giving y'all my resource, but also a lot of this is right off the dome. And like I said, my own lived experience. So the first thing we're going to get into is what exactly is imposter syndrome? Imposter syndrome is the idea that you don't belong to a certain group, you don't deserve a certain thing, or the idea that you're just not good enough for something. The concept was first explored by women, of course, in 1978. They started researching what they call the imposter phenomenon at that time because they were witnessing women in high authoritative positions with PhDs feel like they got their position based on luck, or they felt like they weren't smart enough to attain the success that they had already achieved. Now, some examples of this are just not feeling like you deserve a raise or a promotion at work, regardless of the number of years of experience you have in the field. And now, here's my personal story. So y'all may know that I talk about it all the time, that I am a licensed pharmacy technician. I have worked in pharmacy for 2015, so almost 10 years, because this is 2024. So almost 10 years, I have been at my current job, a long-term care pharmacy, for this year will be 5 years, I do believe. I think 5 or 6. And I was in a position just last year or this year. Yeah, just this year, just a couple months ago, where literally, because I'm a lead at my job and I take on a lot of responsibility at that job. I really do. And I basically, once I got my degree, I came to my manager and I was like, look, I don't want to leave this job, but at the same time, I'm not making enough money here. And it took a lot of courage for me to have that conversation with my boss because I'm not one of those people that have that kind of confidence that just walks up to a boss and is like, hey, I'm not getting paid what I'm worth. Like, that's normally not me. But for me, it was just like, either you're going to continue to suffer in silence, and just like they say, closed mouths don't get fed, or you gonna put up and shut up and really put yourself out there and see what happens. Either they're gonna say yes, you can have the raise, or they're gonna say no, and you know that it's time for you to start looking for another job. And babe really pushed me to have the confidence to have this conversation with her as well, because she was like, babe, you really do a lot for your job. Like, you go out of your way, you know what I'm saying? You stay late, you work overtime, you do this, you do that. Like, I overextend myself a lot. And sure enough, I ended up asking my boss for a raise and I ended up getting two. So there you go. That's your sign, sis, to go ahead and do what you got to do to ask your boss for a raise. Another example is feeling out of place amongst your peers, even though your grades are just as good as theirs. And I experienced this as well, being one of the few Black students at a predominantly white institution. I graduated from USF. When I moved down here to Tampa, I initially was going to USF St. Pete, which was a smaller version of the big major campus here in Tampa. Now, I live right down the street from the Tampa campus, but also, when I switched over to going to the Tampa campus, I did. I felt very out of place being a Black girl there. I feel like a lot of the, I was an older student, so a lot of the kids was, just younger. They didn't take the classes seriously. Like, I was really trying to be there and learn. Like, when I was in honor society, going to the honors clubs meetings and being like one of the few Black people there, like, I just felt so out of place and so unworthy and so just like, this is not for me. And that feeling that I got from going to those honor club meetings and not feeling and having that feeling of being out of place is what kept me from going to the meetings. Like, I never really participated in honor club meetings because they just felt so awkward to me. But I tell you what I did do. When I walked, I made sure I had them honor scores around my neck. I sure did. Because one thing about it, your girl worked for that GPA. So the imposter syndrome cycle is basically where you go all out of your way to prove to others that you have what it takes to get things done. This can be in any setting like work, school, friends, etc. Overworking yourself and outdoing yourself just so you don't feel like you're a fraud, or in other words, so you can feel worthy of your success. The overwork and outdoing yourself will make you feel better in the moment, but the next time a big project comes along or a new challenge comes along, you repeat the cycle. So, just like I said, in my current job, I do tend to overwork, but we don't have like big projects where I'm usually just overworking myself every day because I feel like as the lead of my shift, I'm only as strong as my weakest link. And right now, I'm in the process of training people. So I have to get them up to par. And in order, in the midst of getting them up to par, I also have to pick up the slack of me taking the time to get them up to par. So I, it's y'all, it's crazy because studying this and like going over these notes and realizing the cycle that I consistently put myself in, it's like you do it unconsciously. after so long, it's like you don't even realize that you are making yourself repeat this cycle. The cycle can also be repeated in a way that I experience imposter syndrome a lot by negatively responding to somebody's compliments. So, for instance, if somebody tells you good job, you're like, I couldn't do it without my team. Or if somebody just says, you look cute today or whatever, you're like, oh, this whole thing, like, child, please. And while that may be true, like, say, for instance, with the good job compliment, while it may be true that you couldn't do it without your team, it is also true that, like, in my case, my leadership skills is what got the team there. Or like, if you, like I said, if somebody's telling you you look good, you're like, oh, please stop it. Like, rather than just taking the compliment and moving on, just say thank you and keep it pushing. I'm working on that, though, because I do struggle with that. And we talked about that before in another episode of Brown Liquor, Nikki's Rant, where Nikki, we press play, we press record, y'all. And Nikki, like, literally laid into me, like, she just went off. What causes imposter syndrome? Imposter syndrome has multiple causes, including cultural factors, the household types we are raised in, environmental factors like where we are raised, and basic family dynamics. So for me, imposter syndrome really kicked in because I am the youngest of all of my siblings, my half siblings, and, you know, my siblings with my mom and my dad. And all of my siblings had children at very early ages. And it felt like when I got to that age, my mom, my parents either expected that behavior from me, or they were trying to shield me from it so much that they put so much pressure on me to be the good kid, the smart kid, the different kid, the perfect kid. Like, I was the one that had to get good grades. I couldn't really, you know what I mean? Like, I didn't have as much freedom as my sisters did growing up. I didn't, you know, I wasn't able to hang out with my friends as much as they were because I had to be the one to be different, to do something different than what they did. Like, I couldn't be the typical youngest child that just fell into the same, you know, things that they did. So I put a lot of pressure on myself too, because I wanted to make my parents happy. I wanted to show them that I could, you know, achieve success, and they could have one child that, you know, made it through high school and graduated and was able to do all these things and keep a job. Like, it was crazy, but nonetheless, I am here. But that's why I'm bringing this up, because, like I said, like, it's small things like that that you don't even know that affect you in a way that will bleed into your adulthood. And now you're wondering why you have these negative feelings and emotions.
Do you have a story to tell and don't know where to start? Have questions about self-publishing? Hit up Emotional Fiction Publishing Firm for all your publishing needs. Follow at Emotional Fiction Publishing on Instagram or Emotional Fiction Publishing Firm on Facebook to get started now.
All right, y'all, we are back. And before I let y'all go, it is time to get into the last segment of this show, Shonda Psych Second. And like I said, it is relative to the whole imposter syndrome conversation that we just had. So this week's Psych Second is, remember, comparison is the thief of joy. It's not just about people showing their highlight reels on social media. This relates to us everyday working class people who are, if we're single, we're comparing our lives to those who are married, or if we're working for the boss, we're comparing our lives to said boss, or we're comparing our lives to entrepreneurs. What you don't realize is a lot of entrepreneurs work way harder than people who have jobs. But this psych second goes beyond the surface because not all of us are trying to live the lives of people we see on the internet. Some of us are just simply trying to survive. Your measure of success should not be equal to that of someone else's expectations, but to that of your own. Live for you, define success for yourself, and focus on your own happiness. And with that being said, y'all, it's a wrap. Make sure you tune in to next week's episode of Brown Liquor. I hope you have an amazing weekend, an amazing day. I love y'all, and I'll talk to y'all next week.
This has been a production of Brown Liquor Media Group. Tune in every Saturday, wherever you get your podcasts, to catch these vibes. Follow us on all social media platforms at Brown Liquor and join our Facebook group, Brown Liquor Lesbian Conversations, where your voice is always heard and your opinion matters.